you know, you had mentioned before, what could somebody do if they are with somebody who, when they drink, for instance, becomes very mean? And that brings up this whole issue of like a flip-flop, the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. I bet you know a lot of people, as I certainly do, who have, I mean, even among friends, who have said that the person that they're with suddenly changes and becomes horrible.
Right.
And that, I feel, is due to the possessing spirit taking over. There's sort of a dance that goes on, and this is how I conceptualize it, that let's just say that the person has one spirit possessing them, that person, the possessor, could be very much in the background there, so that the person is just their regular self most of the time. And then if they're very tired or sick or maybe had a little bit to drink or whatever, that other person can take over more and more control, usually not 100%. But in the case of blackouts, I think that's my thought, is that that's when there is 100% takeover. And that's why their behavior is uncharacteristic. And then later, when they sober up, they have no memory of what they did, because they didn't do it. The other person did.
Now, are we sure it's possession as opposed to multiple personality disorder or anything like that?
Well, that's what I really thought it was, a multiple personality disorder in the beginning. But when you realize that when these personalities speak about having died in the hospital or in a car accident or killing themselves, then of course that changes that concept in my mind. Another thing is, if it's a multiple personality and I do a depossession and ask them, which we can get into, that's, as I said, it's kind of a complicated subject, which you'll definitely get into. But when I do that, which of course is the therapy, and then they leave and the person is completely free of that symptom, then that also makes me think that it was not a multiple personality.
You know, what's funny too, Edith, is I have heard people say about their friends and loved ones that they changed, even to the point where their appearance seemed to change.
Yes.
A different look in their eye.
Yes.
Like it wasn't the person that I knew.
Yes.
Very, very scary situation.
Well, I think it's much more common than we realize, and maybe it isn't all that dramatic. I mean, sometimes it could be very dramatic where their whole facial expression changes. But on the other hand, it could be very subtle with just a change in, for instance, liking something, not liking something. In one case, I had a woman who was possessed after she had had a surgery. The possessing spirit couldn't stand her husband, for instance. And even though she had a loving relationship with her husband and had married many, many years, certainly her whole attitude changed. And it could very well be that the husband perceived her as almost a different person. You know, that's one of the characteristic signs of possession, is when they seem not themselves at all. They seem like different. Or they have different thoughts that don't fit in with her. Let's say that a person is not a smoker, never has smoked, and then all of a sudden thinks, I'd love to smoke or smell a cigarette smoke, and wants a cigarette. This is kind of uncharacteristic. Now, I'm not saying that that's proof positive that they've been possessed, but that's the kind of thing. And it can be kind of subtle, and then the person could push that out of their minds and think, that's ridiculous. I certainly don't want to smoke. I mean, that's just one example.
So some of the people that get possessed, can you be possessed by more than one spirit at any particular time or over your lifetime?
Oh, yes. What I found is that usually that was the case. It was very rare that it just would be one. But how many? What is the maximum number? I really don't know, but it could be very shocking.
Well, what happens to the, let's say, a person over a one-year time period, we'll just use that as an example, was possessed three times by three different entities. What happened to the first and second one, for example, to allow the third to come in?
Well, now we get into the concept of the aura. I believe that by a a spirit possessing somebody, it kind of weakens their aura, because the spirits bringing their own aura with them merges, and it lowers the vibrational level of the aura, and therefore they're more a little bit more open to further possession. Now, let's say they pick up another spirit. By the end of the year, they could have all three with them.
Oh, my.
Or more. Or an interesting thing is that one of them could just leave on their own without anybody doing a special technique, any ritual or any depossession or, you know, I don't like to use the word exorcism because that connotes demonic possession. But in other words, in talking to some of these spirits, of course, I had lots of conversation with spirits in the years that I did that work. They would talk about having possessed many people and then getting very bored with perhaps one and leaving, and or getting that person to commit suicide so that they could leave because they didn't realize that all they could do is just walk right out.
Oh, my gosh. They actually pushed someone to that extreme?
Yes. I think that was one of the cases in my book, The Unquiet Dead. It was one of my most interesting cases. The spirit had, the person who became a spirit had died during the earthquake in San Francisco.
Okay.
A famous earthquake, 1909, whatever. Yeah, I think that's what it was. And then he possessed the first person that he saw, ran up to get help, like help me, because he was so shocked being out of his body and felt he was lost, and merged with that person who was very boring and then didn't know what to do, and got that person to commit suicide so he could get out. And then there he was out of that body. Hopefully the original owner of that body went right into the light, but at any rate, then he described having possessed a number of people. I think he learned then he didn't have to get them to kill themselves until he was with my patient. And I think there was some drinking involved in that case. But, yes, that's so they can come and go. And then also one person that I spoke to said that if he got kind of bored, he would just leave that person and wander down the street and more or less pop into somebody else, or if there was a party going on or whatever, and then come back to the cozy person, the cozy situation in which he was living most of the time. In other words, with the another person.
So they could actually springboard from person to person.
They can, but that's not usually what happens. And usually what happens is there's so much confusion in the spirit's mind that when they find themselves in a body, to begin with, they may not realize what's going on, because now all of a sudden they're back in a body and it feels warm and they can eat and they can drink and they can do all the things, drink water or beverages or coffee or whatever they like. It just doesn't have to necessarily be alcohol. That they may just feel comfortable and just be kind of like in a limbo state, not realize where they are.